For the last few Wednesday nights, I've been leading a series on the book of Proverbs. And last week I wasn't here, and so David taught on the strange fire. And I've gone back and listened to that and enjoyed that. And I appreciate you taking up my slack and making it stronger, Brother David. That was good. Praise the Lord. I do want to continue in the book of Proverbs because I had shared with you before there was at least one more sermon or teaching out of this that I wanted to pull. And there may even be one more. I'm not sure yet because I'm still gleaming. I'm reading a chapter of Proverbs every single day, and I'm seeing more every single day. There's so many good things in this wonderful book. And there's also some great warnings in here. And the thing that I want to share with you tonight is a warning that I think is particularly applicable to the generation that we're living in today. And that is what Proverbs has to say about the subject of greed. Now, Proverbs only uses the word greed a few times. In the New American Standard Translation, you're only going to find it once. But if you take the root word of that and go back and look at it, you're going to find that it's actually talked about quite a few times. The King James uses the word greed several times. And the words that are translated greed in the King James, New American Standard, New King James, when they're translated that way, there are two different Hebrew words that speak of the what we think of greed. And one of those is the Hebrew word ta'aval, which means a desire or a longing for something. And then there's another word that's often translated greed in other parts of the Old Testament, and in a couple places in the King James it is here, and it's the word ba'tsa, which speaks of plundering or taking something by force. And when you put these two ideas together, you begin to understand what Solomon was talking about when he was talking about the issue of greed in our lives, and it's really a strong desire for something that creates a willingness to do whatever it takes to get that something. That's what greed is. It's a strong desire for something that is willing to do whatever it takes to get that something. And here is where I want to make a big distinction. It's very important that you understand when I'm talking about greed tonight. Greed is not so much what you want, but how much you want it. You see, greed, you can be greedy for lots of things. It's not the thing itself that is the greed. We use riches all the time. People think of money. That's the common thing that comes to mind. But that's not the thing that is the greed. It's how much we want that thing. It's how much we desire. And what are we willing to do to get that makes the greed the sin in our heart. And so we want to make sure that we understand how greed works. It starts small sometimes, like a little seed, but it grows like a cancer and can consume all of us. And so we need to take some preventative action. If we don't take some corrective action, it's going to destroy us. So tonight we're going to look at Proverbs on greed. We're going to talk about six consequences of greed as discovered in the book of Proverbs. Then we're going to talk about two really practical ways that we can deal with greed in our lives. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your instruction to us from the wise man who leaned on you for wisdom. May your wisdom come to us through the words of your Holy Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's talk about the consequences of greed. We talked about the definition of greed as our introduction, but let's take a minute now and look at the consequences of greed and how it affects us in our life. And remember, every time I say the word greed, number one, don't just think money. Think anything that drives you. It can be it can be anything that you desire for, anything that you have a desire for, the pursuit of love. You can be greedy for love. You can be greedy for golf. I'm not looking at anybody. You can be greedy for power. You can be greedy for recognition. Okay, so it's not just money, but greed is this strong desire that's willing to take whatever, willing to do whatever it takes to get it. So let's talk about the consequences of what greed does in your life. Now, go to chapter 1 of Proverbs, verse number 19. Faith, do you have my notes for the folks to look at? Excellent. They'll help us as we move through there. In Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 19, it says, "So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors." Now, this phrase, gains by violence, those three words, those three English words, gains by violence, is the translation of the one Hebrew word, batsa, which speaks of plundering or gaining by greed. In fact, if you look at this in the Amplified translation, I believe she'll put that up for you to see, it says, so are the ways of everyone who is greedy of gain. Such greed for plunder takes away the lives of its possessors. And so we see here that greed can literally steal your life away. You can become so consumed by the thing, by the desire for the things that you want, that you literally or figuratively lose your life. There are many people who have lived lives characterized by emptiness, characterized by a lack of purpose, characterized by unhappiness, by turmoil, and it's because they have focused on their desire for more. And the problem with that is you can never get enough. See, that's the problem with greed. It's never satisfied. And then there are those who literally lose their life, and you and I have probably all heard the stories of someone who could not take it anymore. And because they were not satisfied with what they had pursued, they ultimately took their own life. And so there's a warning to us. Solomon says, those who have this desire to get, to plunder, to get for themselves, to take it in, that very desire will take away the life of the one who's greedy. So number one, this is a horrific consequence. It will steal your life away. Now go with me to chapter 28. And let's look at verse number 22. Hopefully I've written down all the right verses tonight. This is a very interesting one because it kind of reflects to a phrase, a Hebraic phrase that we're not completely understanding. But Hebrews 28, verse 22, hopefully will give us some understanding. It says in verse number 22, a man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that want will come upon him. And my point to you is that greed can destroy your financial security. This man with the evil eye doesn't realize that poverty is coming towards him. Doesn't know that want. The phrase evil eye in the Hebrew is a symbolism for someone who is stingy and who wants to keep for himself, who's miserly, who's greedy, who hoards things to himself. And the problem is that the person who sets their eyes on riches doesn't realize that riches will grow wings and will fly away. And the only thing they'll ever be able to say for the things that they're searching for, the things that they're desiring, is goodbye as it flies away. Do you believe me? Look at chapter 23, since you're in the 20s. Chapter number 23, verse number 4, says, do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone, for wealth certainly makes itself wings, like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. And so we see that this issue of greed, it said back in 28:22, he doesn't realize, because he's so desirous, he doesn't realize that it's going to come upon him in a way of want and poverty. It will destroy your financial security. I know people who've made stupid decisions with their money because they wanted to be rich. You've heard the phrase, a sucker is born every minute. Well, there's a lot of them who are watching the get-quick-rich things and throwing money, good money after bad, and trying to find, because of the... Now, I'm not saying there's not some people who are motivated by just a simple desire to make a living. I understand that. But there are some who will find themselves ruined because of their greed and never having enough. Now, the third issue, the third consequence of greed is significant, and is this: it can affect your loved ones. See, greed doesn't just affect you. It affects people around you. If you realize, you know, there are a lot of times we probably thought to ourselves, well, this is really not affecting anybody else. This doesn't affect my parents. It doesn't affect my wife. It doesn't affect my kids. What I'm doing is my business. The problem is, what you do affects everybody around you. Your desires affect everybody around you. Your actions affect everybody around you. And if you look at chapter 15, it's going to tell us differently. Chapter 15 of Proverbs is that same word, batsa, that speaks of that greedy plundering. It says in chapter 15, verse 27, He who profits illicitly troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes lives. He who profits illicitly. See that profits illicitly? That's that same baltsa, that plunderous taking, that plunderous desire. In fact, the Amplifier have it this, says it this way: he who is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household. You bring it home. Whether it's greed for unjust gain here, greed for pleasure, greed for recognition, greed for love, whatever it is, when that greed consumes us, it literally affects those around you. You know what? Some people, you've probably seen them and heard stories of the people who started out simply wanting to provide better for their family. And before it's over with, they're so caught up in wanting to take care of their families that the seed of greed takes root, and they begin to ignore the very family they started out wanting to take care of. Has anybody ever experienced that? Don't raise your hands. I know I have. I know there have been times that you begin with a good thing, a good desire to take care of your family, but before you know it, if you're not careful, that seed begins to grow, and the thing that you're wanting to take care of is the very thing that gets neglected and put aside because this becomes more important. And it says here, the Scripture tells us that greed will bring trouble to our house. Number four, the fourth thing that greed does is it can bankrupt you spiritually. It can bankrupt you. Just when you think you've got something, you've got nothing. Chapter 13, verse number 7 says, there's one who pretends to be rich but has nothing. Another pretends to be poor but has great wealth. I wasn't sure about that pretends. I always like to look at verses in different translations. The King James says there's one that makes himself rich and has nothing. And the last part of that pretends is one who actually, it's not pretends in the sense of fakes it, it's pretends as the one who reaches for. Someone who's pretending in the sense of reaching for this thing. And this guy who's reaching for, who's desiring for, who's grasping at wealth, ends up having the wealth, but ends up also being completely emptied. It reminds me of chapter 11, verse number 24, where it says, there is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. The one who's generous, who gives, finds it's coming back to his house. But there's one who withholds what is justly due, and it results only in want. And so we have this truthism here, this great insight and wisdom that even though you end up with what you think you wanted, you really have nothing. You guys ever heard of Howard Hughes? There was a man who had everything the physical world could offer. Considered at one time to be the richest man in the world. He was driven by greed for wealth. He was driven by greed for power. He was driven by greed for fame. He was driven by greed for love. But you know what? The man had no happiness, no fulfillment. You know what? Sometimes you'll get what you're greedy for, and you'll find it's like sand to your fingers. Greed will drive you to spiritual bankruptcy. This next one kind of makes it even more plain. Greed can steal your integrity. This is a consequence of greed. It can actually steal your integrity. Chapter 28 of Proverbs, every verse we're reading today, is from the book of Proverbs. It says in verse number 20, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. I really like the way that the King James says it this way. It says, He who makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. I'll tell you something. Greed is never patient. It's always in a hurry to get. It's in a hurry to acquire the thing that it covets for. And here we see that a person who allows greed to feed into our natural desire for instant gratification finds that he is giving away oftentimes a piece of himself. He gives away a piece of innocence. He gives away a piece of integrity. You know, some people in their power for wealth or for whatever it is that they're wanting, whatever it is they're greeding for, some of them are willing to do what is unethical, what is immoral, what is illegal, to get a little bit more. And they give the pieces of themselves away a little bit by a little bit. Now look, there's nothing wrong with wanting something better for your family, with desiring good things for your family. But when that desire becomes our focus, when that desire drives us, when that desire becomes a central point of our life, desire gets us to the point we're willing to compromise our values, then it's become greed. And here it says it won't go unpunished. And then there's one more, and that's in chapter 11. Greed causes a false sense of security. Chapter number 11. Verse number 28. Says, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. Unfortunately, the more money someone makes, the more arrogant they can become. The more self-confident they can become. The more trusting in themselves they can become. They think they can get away with more. They take bigger risks. And when they fall hard. It says pretty plainly here, the one who trusts in his riches will fall. I counseled with a young person one time who had seen a family member go through a difficult financial ruin and was so desirous of avoiding that that he was pouring his entire life into building up this financial castle that he thought would protect him. His entire life was poured into this. His entire life. And he was amassing somewhat of a nest egg, somewhat of a parachute, somewhat of a lined nest. But he was losing his wife. He was losing his children. That's why they were talking to me. Because everything else was falling apart. Oh, but he wanted this. If I could just get this extra, this next, have this security, then I will be secure. Then I'll be safe. Then I'll be confident. All it takes is one breath of God to blow all that away. If your security is in your money, then last week you got nervous when the stock market dropped, didn't you? I have some people here just recently. It dropped? If you're not worried about it, then no big deal, right? Let it drop 10,000 points. Big whoop. Our security is in the Lord. Like this, David wrote in Proverbs, in Psalms. I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the one who made those hills. So guys, greed is an issue. It's an important issue. It has some significant consequences. And at a young age, if you can learn that passion and that desire for those things, not the things themselves, but that desire, that unrequited desire that drives us, will have evil, unintended consequences. If we can learn that now, we'll save ourselves so many of these heartaches. Six of the things I just shared with you now, it'll steal your life away. It'll destroy your financial security. It'll affect your family, your loved ones. It'll bankrupt you spiritually. It'll steal your integrity. It'll give you a false sense of security. Well, let's talk about dealing with greed. You know, because up until now, I've painted a pretty dark picture. And if I said amen right now, you'd all leave going, oh my goodness, is there any hope? Well, there is some hope. Okay? Now, the reality is that all of us as humans, there is a seedbed that wants to be planted within us. But I want you to remember my definition that I gave you earlier. Greed is not defined by what you want, but it's defined by how far you'll get it. You'll go to get it. Okay? Remember that. And greed is not just the desire for money or material things. It can control any desire in our lives. And so what are some warning signs? We are so blessed to be living in this day when we actually receive days in advance notices that bad weather's coming. Have you noticed? Have you been thankful for that? You know, I am so grateful. We can be sitting here on a beautiful day like today, and the weatherman will come on and say, we're going to have highs in the 70s today, lows in the 40s. Tomorrow it's going to be about the same, but for Saturday we're looking for some bad weather to come in. In fact, Saturday afternoon, we're not sure exactly what time, sometime between 12 and 4, you really need to make sure that you're inside. The winds are going to be up around 50 miles an hour. There's going to be a strong gust. There's a chance of hail. You need to make sure you protect. And you're thinking, here you are, a beautiful sunshiny day. What did the people do who never had weathermen around? I mean, besides not having anybody to make fun of. I mean, because we make fun of them. But think about the advance warnings we get. Think about the advance warnings we get for the hurricanes that are coming in. I mean, we're tracking hurricanes 3 and 4 and 5 days a week in advance. We're watching their tracking patterns. We're seeing where they're going. But are we wise to pay attention to those early warning signs? Absolutely we are. Does it benefit us to pay attention to initial signs, changes in the barometric pressure, changes in the cold front coming in on a warm front? Would we be wise to pay attention to those early warning signs? Okay, then let me give you some early warning signs of greed. And you see if any of these may be affecting your life. There's four of them I want you to see. One of them is coveting. Now look, all of us can see something in somebody else's life and might want it. That's natural. But coveting is that strong and persistent craving that says, I want what that person has. And it won't leave you alone and it won't quit. It's a strong desire, a strong craving for something you don't have. It becomes the focus of your heart, becomes the focus of your life. This is why God said in one of His top 10, don't covet. Don't let this one get into your life. Don't let dissatisfaction with what you have and the blessings that God has given you cause you to chase after what somebody else has. And so we need to look. Are we beginning to covet when we see somebody else's car? We see somebody else's set of golf clubs? We see somebody else's house? I don't know why everybody looks at John when I mention anything about golf. Poor guy. He's just so pickable. But when we find ourselves desiring so much that thing, then covetousness is beginning to work in our life. That's a warning sign that greed is taking hold, that the cancer of greed is growing. The second one is this: more, more, more. This is when you achieve your goals and you acquire the things that you want, and instead of being grateful for them, being grateful for what you have, your focus keeps shifting to what you don't have. Instead of being grateful for the things that God has brought to your life, you look at that and you say, oh, there's still room for something else over here. Oh, I haven't filled this corner. Oh, I need this and I need that and I need this other and I need this other. Let me tell you something. You can do without a lot of stuff. Have a fire, hurricane, tornado, flood, and let it show you what you really, really, really need. But when we start having the little anxiousness in our hearts, wanting more, needing another one, I gotta have that. Who y'all want me to use for an example on this one? John? No, I'm gonna leave John alone for now. He's getting a bruise over there. But let me tell you something. This is an early warning sign that greed is becoming a factor in your life. The third one is this: hurry, hurry, hurry. Oh my! Let me tell you, that's a warning sign. Whenever you're chasing after, you can't get it fast enough. I mean, you're speeding up. And this is where that whole work thing takes over the whole life. This is where that whole desire for doing things in a hurry. Instead of patiently pursuing what you want and working to earn it, you find yourself looking for shortcuts to get it faster. Well, if I do this, I can have it by this weekend. If I do this, I can have it by. And our whole life is consumed. All of a sudden, greed is coming in. Let me tell you just a truth that my father taught me a long time ago. And I'm going to guarantee you that over 90% of the time, this is true. If somebody tells you, you've got to act now, or you're going to miss your chance, you might as well miss that chance. because what you're missing is a headache. You know, you go to these sales places and they say, but I can only give you this price today. In fact, if you leave, I can't give it to you. My boss has told me I can only give it. You can't even leave and come back. I guarantee you, you come back with cash in your hand, you'll get the deal. But you see, they're trying to work on that hurry. Got to have it now. Got to do it right now. Anybody ever been to one of those timeshare sales pitches? Oh, man. Thank God you had self-control, huh? Aren't they working on, you know, the whole thing is geared with energy. Now, I know they're actually changing their skills up sometimes now. They're getting a little bit more relaxed. But when you start showing you're getting ready to head out the door, hurry up and sign this paper. Hurry. When we find ourselves, that's the tactic the enemy uses. We find ourselves buying into that. I've got to hurry up and get this. I've had this. I'll give you an example. There's too many examples. But I've seen it happen in my own life where I would be in a hurry to think. I remember a long time ago, I wanted a certain kind of cell phone. And I called this company. I had to have it by this certain weekend. You know, I had to have it by this certain date. I was in such a hurry for it. You know, my world didn't change if I got it or didn't get it by that weekend. But there was a greed working there. There was a desire working there. There was an anxiousness working there. Those are warning signs to us. So we got three so far. Coveting. More, hurry. And the fourth one, this I'm playing these off of some of the consequences, but let me tell you, the fourth one is a warning sign. It's closing your eyes to compromise. When you find yourself contemplating compromise, when you find yourself thinking about compromising your values or compromising your integrity to achieve what you want a little bit more quickly, then you can rest assured that greed is overtaking. Closing your eyes to compromise. Let me tell you something. Don't let these warning signs stick around. When we see these, we need to nip them in the bud. Who said that? Who remembers that? Don't point at somebody in here. Somebody famous used to say that. Nip it in the bud. Barney said that. That's right. Barney Fife. Nip it in the bud. We need to nip it. Y'all could laugh, but, you know, it would make me feel better, and it'd be good for you, too. It'd give you some exercise, all those muscles in your face. Thank you. I can't do a good Barney impression. I think you have to be skinny to do a Barney impression. Okay, we'll leave that one alone. Let's wrap this up with this question. What if I'm already greedy? What if I've listened to this message tonight, and I've realized that greed's at work in my life? Is there any hope? Does Proverbs have any direction? I'm trying to speak only from the book of Proverbs. Does Proverbs have any truth for me? Well, it does. There's two clear-cut things that you can do from the book of Proverbs to overcome greed. Go to Proverbs chapter 21. And while you're going there, I'm going to tell you what this first one is. You need to set your focus on giving generously to others. Set your focus on giving generously to others. Become a giver. Become a giver. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 25 says, "The desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. All day long he is craving, while the righteous gives and does not hold back." I am convinced that the fastest way to deal with greed is to become a generous giver. Generosity is both the vaccine and the antidote to greed. It will vaccinate us to having a greedy spirit, but if we have the greediness, it will be the antidote, and it will just suck that out of us. It's the anti-venom. Do you remember what Jesus told a young man who came to him and said that he wanted to follow him? Jesus looked at his heart and he realized this young man had an issue with this. And he said to him, to this specific one, not to everybody, but to this one, "Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me." What does the scripture say about that young man? He said he went away grieved because he had a lot of stuff. You remember that? He lived with a closed hand. One of the things that has really been stirring in my heart is that we have got to live with an open hand. We have got to live with a hand of the things of this world that holds them loosely. They can slip easily out of our hands. We can easily pass them on to other people. We're developing something. You guys are core group folks. You're Wednesday night faithful. So let me just share this with you. Sunday we'll be sharing a little further. But we're developing a desire within ourselves and our bodies to minister to our community with an open hand. One of the things that we're going to be doing is doing some outreaches to our community where we reach out and say, we want to give you something in the name of Jesus. One of the things we're going to be doing March 31st, Saturday, March the 31st, if any of you are available to do that, we'd like for you to join us. We're going to go to one of the busy corner streets in Pineville, and we're going to give out water, free ice cold water, to anybody who wants it. And when they ask us how much we want for it, we're going to tell them it's free. And when they say, why are you giving this away? We're going to say, because Jesus cares that you're thirsty. We're going to give with an open hand. We're going to look for opportunities. The next three Thursdays in a row, we're feeding. Some of you are working on this, helping feed these folks over there working on the Habitat for Humanity, giving with an open hand. I guarantee you, it will be a cure for any greed that's in our heart if we'll learn to give, if we'll learn to live with an open hand. This is a lifestyle that will bless us more than it will bless the person that we're given. Because the Scripture says, Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs, he who waters will himself be watered. How many times have you heard Brother Buddy say you can't outgive God? Some of you have told me examples of that, even recently, that every single time you've done something for the Lord, He has poured out the windows of blessing on you. And then that you turn around, there's another blessing. You turn around, there's another blessing. You're like, where are all these blessings coming from? It's because you have an open hand. You see, that's the antidote for greed in our lives. I read the story. I enjoy Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And some of you guys read through that with us a few years ago. Y'all remember that? We had a wonderful time studying that. Rick pastors the Saddleback Community Church. He's pastored it for 20-some-odd years. And he kind of came under fire a little bit for, you know, he's making a lot of money off the royalties off the book. And so some brave journalist asked him the question, what was he doing with that money? Through the millions of dollars, because they sold millions and millions of books. And not that it was any of their business, but he went ahead and told them that he gave, the first thing he and his wife did when those royalties started coming in, they paid back the church every penny that the church had paid them in salary for the last 20-some-odd years. Paid it back. He said not only that, but they became reverse tithers. They lived on 10% of their income and gave 90% of their income away to charities and trusts and those who were doing good. Now you might say, well, sure, that's easy for him to do now that he's getting millions of dollars. But let me tell you something else that he did that will blow you away. When he and his wife started their church with just a small handful of people, he and his wife committed to give 10% of their income. And they committed to increase it by 1% every year. So at the end of 10 years, when Saddleback Church was 10 years old, they were given 20% of their income. 3 or 4 years ago, when Saddleback became, or a few or 4 years ago than that, when Saddleback became 20 years old, when he had been pastoring 20 years, they were given 30%. Because every year they'd add one more percent. Give 10%, 11%, 12%. Now they're given 90% of their income. I guarantee you, there's a man who will tell you, you can't outgive God. You cannot. And so we've got, if we want to deal with greed, Proverbs tells us that we need to give and not hold back. We need to be those who live with an open hand. This is the fastest way to eliminate greed from our life, is to make a concentrated effort to give generously. You don't have to wait till you're rich to be generous. Amen. And the second thing is this, and this is kind of plain, but it's I think we read this verse, but it's, you want, how do you want to deal with greed? Stop chasing the dollar. Stop chasing them, riches. Deal with it head up, straight on. We're going to read chapter 23, verses 4 through 7 one more time. Actually, we didn't read this. Let's read, we read part of this. Chapter 23, verse 4. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. Stop chasing money. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies towards the heaven. Now look at this next little part. Do not eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies. As he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. A little phrase, he thinks within himself, so he is. So man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, we make up our mind, I'm not going to chase the dollar. I'm not going to chase the material. I'm not going to chase those things that... And again, remember, those things are not the issue. It's the chasing that's the issue. It's the longing, the pursuit, the desire that overcomes us. I said to you, my definition of greed is a strong desire for something that creates a willingness to do whatever it takes to get it. I read this story, and I want to close with a story. I read this story one time of a fellow said that he had, as a child, had gone to a circus, a traveling circus that came through his town, and there was a snake charmer, snake tamer, who went into the pen of snakes, and he allowed this python to wrap itself around his body, as he had done countless occasions previously. And he stood there, and the crowd watched as the python enveloped him in his body. But on this occasion, something was different. The snake began to tighten its grip, tighter and tighter. And the expression on the man's face could tell the crowd that something wasn't right. Something's not right here. But they weren't really sure. And he wasn't at first. He wasn't quite sure because he didn't want to make a big deal out of it. But then, by the time it was time for him to make a big deal, his lungs were so compressed, he couldn't speak, he couldn't breathe, he couldn't say anything. And the crowds heard his bones break, and they watched him fall lifeless as the other trainers rushed in and pulled the snake and killed the snake, but the man was dead. When I read this story, what the fellow said, he said, you know what the problem was? You know what that man's mistake was? He said he thought he had tamed the snake, but you can't change a snake's nature. Folks, greed is like a snake. We can't play with it. We can't let it get a foothold in our life. You can't take greed out of greed. If we let it gain a little foothold in our life, ultimately it will do all those things that we talked about earlier. It'll steal our life. So what do we need to do? Let's live life with an open hand. Let Christian Challenge be a church who lives with an open hand. That when people need help, we help. That when we see someone who doesn't have clothes, we give them clothes. Somebody who's hungry, we give them something to eat. Somebody who's thirsty, we give them something to drink. Let's live with an open hand. Let's defeat that tendency, that seed that's within all of us. I mean, if we say it's not, we're fooling ourselves. But if we'll live with that open hand, we'll prove ourselves to be sons of our Father. Lord Jesus, thank you for your truth and your word. Lord, thank you that the instructions from Proverbs for our lives are so helpful. And they deal with things that we deal with every day. Lord, I pray that we would tonight be able to grasp your truth from this teaching and say and recognize where the warning signs may be. That we might indeed be able to use that antidote of generosity and to set our minds to not chase after the fleetingness of these things, but instead to earnestly pursue you. Thank you for the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.